by asking about your association with SIUE. Mm-hmm. I know you go far back in the records. I've seen the records of the Chancellor's office, and I've seen you back when they were moving offices from East St. Louis to the main campus.
Mm-hmm. I've been here since December 6th of 1976.
Yes. Wow.
So, I'll be coming up to 30 years pretty soon. It's hard to believe because that 30 years has really flown by.
And what was your first job? Well, you could just describe your job that you did here.
Sure. Well, Okay. All right. You know, back in 1976, SIUE was on the quarter system.
Mm-hmm.
And the quarter didn't begin until towards the end of September.
Mm-hmm.
My husband at that time got a job here at SIUE. We had just spent the summer at the University of Florida. And he got a job in the School of Education.
Mm-hmm.
And school didn't start until mid to late September. So I had been a public school teacher. And by the time we moved here, school had already started. So I stayed home for a couple of months. And one day he brought home an advertisement for a part-time academic advisor.
Mm-hmm.
Said, why don't you go ahead and apply for it? And I thought, well, I don't know anything about SIUE, and I don't really know anything about advising, but it's only part-time, and I could still do some teaching at Lewis and Clark or someplace. So I went in and interviewed for the job. And they were also looking for someone to teach a reading course. Well, reading was my background. And so I was hired by Dee Lovell.
Yes.
Yeah, Dean Lovell. Vi Doherty.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Vi Doherty, I think, at that time was, she was probably assistant in the academic advising office, and Norb Schmidt was the chair and the department director. And so they hired me to be a part-time advisor and to teach the one reading course that the university had at that time, GSK 100, I don't know, it was 100B. GSK 100B.
And that's the only?
That was the only
developmental course?
That was the only, right.
Wow.
At that time. Right. So I was an advisor and taught the reading course in that office in academic advising until 1980 when I joined Miriam Dusenberry in the Academic Resource Center. And she was my boss for a number of years when we went through a number of transitions. So I sort of traded from doing mostly advising and a little bit of teaching and reading. I did a lot of teaching and reading and a little bit of advising. At that point, the advising was done in Academic Resource Center for those students who were involved in the courses. And so I sort of switched over there. And then as the Academic Resource Center changed and the structure changed with Barbara Teeters, and about 1983, I guess, we became the Office of Academic Services, and it combined a number of offices under Miriam Dusenberry. And I was looking at a memo that I still have up on my bulletin board from 1983 when I was named an acting coordinator of the Instructional Services component of the Office of Academic Services.
Wow.
Along with Randy Rock, who was doing the counseling part of it, and David Van Horn, who was doing career planning and development. And so I was coordinating the coursework part of what we did.
What was David Van Horn doing?
He was the acting coordinator of career planning and placement. Okay.
And that was all the career planning we had then? Okay. And all those were in instructional services and academic counseling and career planning and placement were all in one office.
Right. Under the...
Under Miriam Dusenberry.
Miriam
Now, by this time, were you offering other courses as you were the coordinator of instructional services? Had you expanded beyond reading?
Well,
or?
You know, initially, the courses that we had were listed under, you know, some of the general education areas, you know, GSK 101.
Uh-huh.
It was that English 101.
Mm-hmm.
Well, at that point, there were separate sections of GSK 101 that were for students who needed to beef up their writing before going to regular English 101. And then the reading course, there was also another reading course then that was developed under elementary education.
Mm-hmm.
Elementary at 051 that originally started out as being for education majors who, you know, who needed to beef up a little bit before they got into their coursework. And then, you know, I guess it became more or less used for anybody at the university who needed, you know, who wasn't reading at college level and who really needed to have some additional work. So the GSK 100B, the reading course that we had, developmental reading, sort of became the course for students who were reading at college level, and the elementary at 051 was for students who were reading below college level. And in the English area, then, there were separate sections of English 101. And then in the math area, you know, the math department managed... You know, there was Math 100 and Math 101 and Math 105. Well, at about, well, in the 1981-82 period, these courses were renamed. You know, this was one of those times when, you know, the Illinois Board of Higher Education was talking about, you know, we need to get rid of remedial work at the college level. And I still remember a 1983 IBHE report that came out that said that by 1986, you know, they were going to be getting rid of development, you know, and remedial coursework. They didn't call it developmental. Getting rid of remedial coursework at the four-year college level. Well, I guess SIUE made the decision that, you know, we had some students who needed developmental coursework, and we were going to call it what it was developmental coursework, and we weren't going to give it credit, whereas some other institutions at the time just sort of hid their coursework and added on extra hours to their credit-bearing courses or separate sections. But at that time, then we created the courses that were called University College, about 1981, 1982. And so the reading courses then became University College reading courses. The writing sections, instead of GSK 101, separate sections became University College writing courses, and you know, some of the math courses, the Math 100 got renamed as University College. And so the courses sort of evolved out of, you know, the supplemental instruction program, which had been the program that was at the East St. Louis Center. And then came to the SIUE campus when a number of the people from the St. Louis campus came to SIUE. Miriam Dusenberry was one of them. Janet McReynolds was another.
when they eliminated the experiment in higher education.
Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. And so the courses here on campus really, really grew in the early 80s. And then when the Office of Academic Services But back to the evolution of my roles, I guess, I was the coordinator of that program, and then when Miriam retired and we were reorganized again, the question was, well, where do we go? Where should uh-huh. we be? And then we were moved into admissions and retention under Richard Dremick. Mm-hmm. And remained there until the College of Arts and Sciences was created. Mm-hmm. And with the creation of the College of Arts and Sciences, academic counseling and advising and instructional services were moved into CAS, while Career Development Center and financial aid stayed with mm-hmm. Admissions and retention. And so I've just been coordinating and directing
and sort of guiding and having facilitating. To fight off people who want to eliminate.
Yes, that's always been part of who we are and what we are. Uh-huh. And unfortunately, we're here to try to help students, mm-hmm. and yet that's not always perceived as a positive thing. Mm-hmm. We go through cycles of, well, students should pick themselves up by their bootstraps, and if they don't come in with stellar skills to start with, they don't belong here. Uh-huh. And if they can't do it on their own, mm-hmm. if they need tutoring, they shouldn't be here. We went through a period when we were not allowed to have tutoring in our department.
When was that?
That was under Richard Dremick.
And was that in the early
90s? That would be
90s
the mid-80s.
Mid-80s.
Right. We, you know, the math department, I kind of feel like I'm kind of jumping around here.
That's all right. It's okay.
You know, the math department originally, as I mentioned, had taught Math 100 and Math 101. Mm-hmm. And they also taught, a course that was like an intermediate algebra. And over time, the math department felt that it should not be offering those courses, that those were not college-level math courses, and they shouldn't be offered. Well, Miriam's attitude was, if students need mm-hmm. the kinds of courses that we have, and if the departments don't want to offer them, mm-hmm. we'll do it. Mm-hmm. We won't turn students down. Mm-hmm. You know, I think she never said no. Mm-hmm. I think she always was willing to say, we'll do whatever it takes. We'll find a way to make it work. Mm-hmm. And so I guess after having worked with her for so many years, I adopted her same feeling about that. And so when the math department decided that it no longer wanted to offer Math 100 and 101, she took those on in mm-hmm. the Office of Academic Services. Well, then the math department decided that it no longer wanted to offer intermediate algebra. And that would be probably, let's see, that's right around 1990.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, after having adopted her philosophy, you know, I approached Mr. Drummick and suggested that we should take on math, you know, 105. Mm-hmm. And so there was a trade made. Mm-hmm. We would take on Math 095, or, you know, Math, at that point, it became 095, a zero-level course. We would take it on, but we would have to give up something, and we would have to give up the tutoring. Students didn't need tutoring then. If we were going to be offering the courses, mm-hmm. they should be able to get whatever they need out of the courses. And so we didn't need to do tutoring, and shouldn't do tutoring. And that's why our tutoring center became renamed the Math Resource Area, because we couldn't have a math resource, we couldn't have a math tutoring center. But we knew that students still needed help. Mm-hmm. You know, whether they need help in class or out of class, the more you can do to reinforce what students mm-hmm. are doing in the classroom, mm-hmm. the more likely they are to be successful. Mm-hmm. So we backed off of doing the tutoring that we were doing for, you know, several different departments, and then we just focused on our math courses and our students in our math mm-hmm. program. And you know, his comments were, you know, sometimes less is more, and you can't be everything for everyone. Uh-huh. And so retrench and do what you can do mm-hmm. well, and only do uh-huh. this part of it.
Okay.
Well, it's difficult to, it's even more difficult to defend and to protect and to service the kinds of students that we have if we were only viewed as a remedial unit. Mm-hmm. And teaching the courses was equated with remediation. Mm-hmm. And in spite of the fact that we were also teaching three classes that carried elective credit, mm-hmm. you know, the study skills, the reading course, and the career planning course. Mm-hmm. So, we also provided, I'm sorry for the
telephone. That's all right.
I'll just kind of ignore it. The English department didn't feel that it could manage the writing center. Uh-huh. And so Miriam had taken on the writing center. And, you know, and so we had the courses, and we had the writing center, and we had our math resource area. You know, we're trying to make sure that the students that we worked with had mm-hmm. had good opportunities for being mm-hmm. successful in the university. Well, you know, we also saw that once students got into some of their gatekeeper courses, mm-hmm. you know, in calculus and in yes. some of the science areas, that they floundered then. And it wasn't mm-hmm. just students who had been in developmental courses. It was other students as well. And mm-hmm. so we got involved in offering supplemental instruction mm-hmm. where we, you know, worked with the students who were in some of those gatekeeper courses, mm-hmm. the courses that had the high DW and F rates, uh-huh. And offered assistance to those students. And offered workshops. I think if somebody said, we need help with something, we were ready to say, okay, we'll try to do it. Also, as far as testing is concerned, you know, we were always involved in doing placement testing and ACT, but, you know, education wanted some testing for their students, and nursing wanted testing for their students, and proficiency exams and CLEP and all of those sorts of things. So what we have become over the years uh-huh. is, I think, an academic support unit that cuts across lots of classes, freshmen mm-hmm. through graduate student, lots of courses from academic development courses through courses in majors mm-hmm. To try to help a variety of students be successful. Mm-hmm. Now, part of that, I think is due to, you know, just the variety of needs that students express and that faculty and departments express. But part of it was also, I think, to say, you know, look, we do many things for many students. Don't just paint us into a corner and say, uh-huh. all you do is
yes.
teach these inferior students who shouldn't be here anyway, mm-hmm. and we do so many things for students. We give students access. Mm-hmm. We give students success. We give students an opportunity mm-hmm. to be successful in their other classes. Mm-hmm. And it's very short-sighted to, to look at the negative mm-hmm. And to, you know, sort of hope we would go away or wish we would go away uh-huh. or mandate that we would go away.
Yes.
When we're really here for the students. Mm-hmm. So our motto, basically, or our mission, is to help underprepared students prepare, prepared students to advance, and advanced students to excel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's
a wonderful right, mission statement.
Right. Okay. I think our services reflect mm-hmm. that. We're trying to help those students who come in short of reading or writing or math skills mm-hmm. to develop those. Mm-hmm. And they come in short for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, least of which is that they're not capable of
right.
of being successful.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe they came from a school where they didn't get the opportunities.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they didn't know that they wanted to go to college at the time. Mm-hmm. Maybe they weren't paying attention. Maybe they went to a variety of schools and so mm-hmm. had gaps.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they thought they were stellar students and didn't realize the gap between their achievement in high school and the expectations in the mm-hmm. university, any number of reasons that, mm-hmm. you know, that didn't, you know, they're not inferior students. Mm-hmm. They're bright students. They're good students. They're interested students who need a boost.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we can help some of those underprepared students be prepared, then that's great.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of prepared students who come in who want to get ahead. They're interested in proficiencies. They're mm-hmm. interested in CLEP exams. They're interested in being good writers. And so they come to the Writing
yes.
Center on their own because mm-hmm. they want to be better writers.
Mm-hmm.
They go to supplemental instruction sections mm-hmm. because they want to get the A's and B's in those chemistry and physics and MS 250 management science statistics courses.
Mm-hmm.
And we have students who are advanced who want to excel. You know, I mean, they mm-hmm. we try to work with students wherever they are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether it's that they're taking a psychology course and they want a workshop mm-hmm. on APA style of writing,
uh-huh.
or whether it's that they need tutoring in a pre-calculus class, or whether it's they want to take a proficiency exam for, you know, a mm-hmm. history class. And that's been, I think, part of the struggle for the last 30 mm-hmm. years, is just trying to ensure that we can be here for students.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, unfortunately, over the years, mm-hmm. I've had people tell me that, well, our people were just glorified high school teachers. Or our students were just dummies who didn't belong here.
Uh-huh.
Or we're just trying to protect our territory.
Uh-huh.
Or trying to increase our territory.
Mm-hmm.
And those kinds of comments really offend me, but, you know,
right.
that's part of what we've lived with for 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just keeping sight of the fact that we're here for the students, I think, mm-hmm. has been what has really helped me to help me to put the other stuff in perspective as much
mm-hmm.
as possible,
mm-hmm.
and try to keep my staff feeling motivated and focused on their jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I've had an incredible staff over these past 30 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when I hire people. Sure, it's great to have people who have content knowledge,
mm-hmm.
but maybe even more so, I hire people who have an interest, a real sincere interest in working with students,
mm-hmm.
who are good communicators, who can not just teach their subjects, but really, first and foremost, teach
mm-hmm.
students.
Mm-hmm.
And they teach students about their subjects.
Mm-hmm.
And they empower students in those content
yes.
areas. And, you know, I think that has really kept people going in that they have, they support each other,
mm-hmm.
they encourage each other, they work well together, they share ideas,
mm-hmm.
they share teaching strategies, they share concerns about students. And the focus is always on students.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that's probably one of the things that I'm most proud about this unit about, is
mm-hmm.
that it does focus on students,
mm-hmm.
and our people always keep students first and foremost.
Does your whole staff have regular meetings?
Mm-hmm.
And that's something you've been doing these?
Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
We meet as a staff mm-hmm. three or four times during the term.
Mm-hmm.
We always have food. You know, we always, it's an academic event
mm-hmm.
in that we are having a meeting, but it's also a social event in that it gives people an opportunity to visit with each other. Mm-hmm. Everybody's so focused on doing their jobs that we need those kinds of opportunities to just, you know, visit a little mm-hmm. bit too. So, yes, we have, as I said, three or four meetings a term. Plus, in each of the content areas, we have an area head that rotates
mm-hmm.
on a two-year basis. And those people in their content areas get together on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
And then I get together with all of the area heads
mm-hmm.
about three times during the term.
Mm-hmm.
So we have all department staff meetings three to four times a term. I get mm-hmm. together with the area heads three times a term, and then they get together with the mm-hmm. folks in their content areas on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
So there's constant communication. And we don't have big egos.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's one of the things that helps everybody sort of pull together.
Mm-hmm.
I have strong personalities,
uh-huh.
you know, I don't want to mistake that, but, you know, I think people respect each other and
uh-huh.
respect the work that each other
mm-hmm.
does, and that goes a long way.
Mm-hmm.
I've had some people on the staff for 20 years
mm-hmm.
or more, and that's been somewhat different over the last few in that some of those people who have been the long-timers are retiring.
Uh-huh.
And so now we're looking at a new generation of people in the department.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been an interesting challenge to make sure that we assimilate them into the department.
Uh-huh.
And that they feel equally as valued in the work that they
mm-hmm.
do as the old-timers who, you know, maybe you don't need to give them the old timers quite as many, you know, reinforcers
mm-hmm.
as the new people. And so you have to kind of remember, we've got the new people too.
Are most of the new people specialists in developmental education, or have training in that, or
a combination?
Uh-huh.
A combination. You know, back when, it's interesting that you bring this up. You know, back when we got started, the field of developmental education was a very new field. You know, developmental
uh-huh.
education had been around, well, it goes back to Harvard in the 1600s. you know, there's always been that gap between, you know, whether it's those who didn't know Latin and Greek and were expected to...
Uh-huh.
to taught in Latin and Greek, and so they had to have some brush-up courses in order to help them be ready. But anyway, the field as a profession has been, I guess over the last 30 to 35 years. And so when I started and when a number of the people in our department started, they came to work with college students from having been working with high school students or elementary
mm-hmm.
students. There are programs nationwide that prepare people
mm-hmm.
at the master's and doctoral level for work in developmental education,
mm-hmm.
and they didn't exist back
mm-hmm.
at the time when many of us started.
I'm
Mm-hmm.